We're going to begin a series today called Because He Lives. Does that remind you of a song? A good song. We're basing this on the scripture found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now listen to this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that good? Amen. Usually during the Easter season, we pick out an aspect of the story of the Passion. Maybe it's the events. Maybe it's the type and shadow. Maybe of the Passover. Maybe it's people that are involved in the Easter story. And we look back over 2,000 years ago to stories from then. This year, we're going to look forward 2,000 years from the cross. And we're going to talk about some modern day stories. We've got four people that are going to be sharing their stories with you the next few weeks. Stories are important. And one thing I hope that you see in this is that you have a story. One of the mistakes we make as Christians is, I don't have a story like so-and-so. My story is not as good as so-and-so. I don't have a story like him. No, you don't, because the only person who has that story is that person. Yeah. The story is unique to you. You know what my story is? I've been in church all my life. There's never been a time that I did not go to church. I was raised in church, and I did not know God. That's my story. Now, I found him, thank God.
Amen.
And I found him at a funeral. But that's my story. But I want to encourage you. One of the things that we want to come out of this is this is the Easter season. It's time to tell the story. It's time to tell your story. And as you meet people the next few weeks and you think about inviting people to come and be a part of our service here for the Easter weekend, is that you invite people and tell them your story. Tell them what Christ has done for you. The only thing that you can speak with authority is your story, what Christ has done in your life. So today, does anybody know this guy? Anybody know this guy? This is Robbie Dawkins, and he has been a part of our church for how long now?
About 4 years, almost.
4 years. Wow, that's a long time. Today he is going to share a little bit of, he's going to share his story with us today. Next week, we got another story. Tanya Jarrett's going to share her story. And then the Good Friday service, Terry Randall's going to share his story. Yeah. And then Easter Sunday, Brandy Cox is coming twice. She'll share three times that. But tell us a little about where you come from, sir.
I come from a real small town, Calico Rock, out in the sticks.
Anybody ever been to Calico? Anybody been fishing there? That's.
I actually live in Dolph. It's kind of beside Calico, even further in the sticks than Calico. So I didn't have very many friends out there because there wasn't nobody out there to be friends with.
Ticks and chiggers, yeah. And snakes. And
yeah, stray dogs every once in a while, but that's about it. I wasn't really a church goer. I was a part-time church person that went to church every once in a while just to see people. You know, it wasn't to know God or to learn about God. It's just because there's people there, so we went. And that's more exciting than church was. I had friends there, so that's the only reason why I really went to church when I was a kid, is to play. You know, it wasn't to hear no word or hear no stories or nothing like that. The only story I remember from my childhood is David and Goliath, and that's just because some guy hit a big guy in the head with a rock and cut his head off with his own. Yeah. My church went down. My family, you know, I'm a modern day life. Prodigal son's what I am, really. You know, I got two sisters that are just angels. They've always been angels.
Is Lori really an angel?
She was, yeah. She might not be so much anymore, but when we was kids, she was. No, they always did what they supposed to do. Didn't they? I was really, yeah. So I didn't really do too many good things just because I was protected. And, I don't know, as I was growing up, I listened to my parents some things, you know, and they don't lie to you. So they kept telling me that if you ever get into drugs or smoke marijuana, if you're allergic to it, you'll die. So I was scared of marijuana for a long time. I'm not gonna lie, you know. There's no way of testing to see if you're allergic to it, so the only way you know is if you ever smoke it and you're allergic to it, you're dead.
So good strategy.
Yeah, I'm gonna instill that in my children's lives now today too. So I mean, it's okay to lie, but it's for a good reason, I guess.
I don't know if that lines up with the Bible.
So that was the starting of it. After I turned 17, I kind of decided maybe my mom and dad was telling me a fib, and I tried marijuana for the first time. I was 17, and
they really have drugs in Calico Run.
They got a few, yeah. They got more drugs than they do people. Okay. So. So that's where it all started, you know. After I didn't die from my first experience with weed, I was like, well, maybe I won't die if I do other things. So I kept on with the drug addiction part of it right then and there. You know, I was addicted the first time I ever did any of it. I didn't realize it, but I was, you know, because from that point on, 17 years down the line, it was nothing but drugs. It was drugs, and all I could even do were people that dealt with drugs or did. You know, as I was a senior. So I got my GED after that and went to work, and I thought that was pretty awesome too, because now I don't have to sit in school all day. I can get a job and have money to actually buy drugs. So I was all right with that.
Lofty goals.
Yeah. So after I got in trouble and I got a job, my mom and dad asked me to move to Conway, so I could get away from all these people and start doing right, you know. A fresh start really is what it is. You know, I've learned that fresh starts are never really a fresh start unless you're fresh in your mind and fresh in your heart, because that's the first of my fresh starts. I've got many more of that. So I moved to Conway and did the same thing, sought out the same people and got heavy into everything. And well, got married when I was in Conway, had two kids, and, you know, I served the devil well, and so did my wife at the time. She served the devil well. We served the devil together for many, many years. And with that being said, you know, the devil likes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he destroyed everything that I had. He destroyed the marriage that we never really glorified God in, so if you can't glorify God in it, it's going to be destroyed, really, because the devil's all over it. And the relationship I have with my children at that point in time, was destroyed because they didn't want to be around me. I put them through, I don't know, so many different scary situations, you know. If it was kind of for little bitty kids, you know, just in the driveways for, and destroyed that relationship at that point in time with my kids, and they started living with their grandparents, and I got in some trouble there too, and I come back to Norfolk and Calico Rock, and we continued living for the devil there, and we got divorced. And after I got divorced, you know, I'm alone, and now that I'm alone, man, you start living for the devil even worse than what you ever thought you could or ever thought you was. You know, because the idle minds are the devil's playgrounds, really. If you're not busy for God, you're going to be busy for the devil. So, you know, I just went crazy. You know, during all this time beforehand, you know, my mom passed away from cancer. And, you know, I just drew me even further away from God. You know, it should have drew me closer to it. It did. You know, I looked for that hole in my heart to fill, and the only thing that I knew to fill it was drugs and that kind of lifestyle. So the more I the more I wanted to fill that heart, that hole, the more drugs I did, and that's how the devil kind of stopped me out. He makes sin be fun for a season, and he lied to me, and I believed it, saying that he's going to make it fun for the rest of my life. And that's what I believed in. You know, I believed that this season was going to last forever, in which it don't. So after all that, I kept getting in trouble again, got arrested several times in a year. And my sister, they lived up here in Batesville, and they got me out of jail, of course, about every time. And they said, well, just come to Batesville. We'll start fresh and just all the second or third time. Well, still, I was trying to get a fresh start somewhere. And like I said before, it ain't ever going to be fresh, because I sought out the same people I did. I had my whole life as I come here to Batesville and found those same people easily. You know, it's everywhere you go. If you seek it out, you'll find it. It's the same way if you seek out God's people. You know? So that's the best thing about coming to Christ. You seek out the right people afterwards. But before all that, I go to Batesville for a start. It's an old start. Same person had me out. And was going back and forth to Conway to see my friend that I've known forever. And got hired, guy sitting there beside me. He said, have you ever been saved? I said, yeah, I've been saved a bunch. So, and then he went on to tell me what talk about being saved in Christ, and I didn't have no idea, because I never listened in church, you know. I just talking to my buddy beside me, and that was the highlight of it. So I learned what being saved meant. I learned the whole meaning of Romans 10:9, and man, the tears poured down, and I accepted Christ into my heart that day. My you know, he died because I lived that day. It took me 2 weeks of Jesus camp to actually figure out what was going on. So that's pretty good. Sometimes it takes longer than that, you know.
Yep.
So I stayed in John 3:16 for 8 months program, but I decided that 6 months wasn't really good enough for me. You know, I lived with an addiction for 17 years. What's 8 months? You know, what's a year? What's 2 years? That ain't nothing after you lived with an addiction for 17 years. And so, after graduating John 3:16, man, I was so excited, and I was excited to go church hunting. You know, that's the most important thing to me. Was the whole time I was in John 3:16, I just can't wait to get out there and see what all these churches are about. the week after I graduated, I come to BCC, and that was the end of my church hunting. You know, I knew God led me here as the Spirit of God was here, and he told me I needed to be here, not just because my family fills up a whole row, but because God wants me to be here. You know, Pastor, he's seen who I was and who I can be, and not the person I was, but he's seen who I'm capable of being, and he lets me serve here. He lets me be on the prayer team and be an usher and anything he needs, he knows he can count on me, and I know I can count on him for anything, and that's where God wants me to be, is in a place like that. And you know, I just they say this is a church for the wounded and all that, and I believe them, because that's where what church needs to be. You know, church don't need to be for the healthy; it needs to be for the wounded.
All churches, not just this one.
Yeah.
All churches.
That song, Broken Vessels, man, it speaks loud to me, because, you know, he raised the broken to life, and that's what I was. I was broken, and he brought me to life, because he died for me. Now he lives through me.
Yes.
And all that.
Yes.
So,
now, something very special happened to you as you were coming to CR. There's a group of girls that was driving over here from Rimmel Church,
yeah,
a group called John 3:17. Tell us what happened there.
Well, when I first started coming to CR, I didn't really enjoy it, really. It was good and all, but I don't know. You always say, and Jason says, you can't just judge something by my one time of going. So I tried out for a month or so, and I started to enjoy it. And then I met Lindsay, and I really started enjoying it after that. So you couldn't get me to miss it on Friday night if you didn't try.
We planned that.
Yeah. But I was blessed to meet her here. God had it all planned out and orchestrated. He's just like He does for tomorrow. He's got my life planned out and orchestrated, and her life planned out and orchestrated. As long as we choose to live for Him, His plan is going to come through on blessings. You know, if we turn our back on Him, the devil's going to be there to take up his spot. And so, in meeting her, we started dating after she graduated. She was the first graduate of John 3:17. So that's a plus. I knew I wanted to find somebody that loved God more than she had ever loved me, and she does that. You know, we're two godly people living together in marriage, so our life's perfect.
He didn't say that first service when she wasn't here. Oh man.
No, we are two godly people, but we're two human. So it's a struggle. We're totally different people, but opposite the track. They say we attracted, and now we're kind of trying to keep it all together. You know, she's a woman, I'm a man, and that's all I really got to say about all that. You know, it's hard to live with people, but we know that what we used to run to is not the answer now. We both run to our heavenly. We have problems.
Yes.
And we come back together as a family, as something put together, let no man take apart. So He's put us together, and we look to Him for answers instead of drugs or alcohol or other people, you know, anything like that. So we always we stand firm on God, so we stand firm together. And we have one. A one-year-old, she knows how many months it is, but I say one, after they turn one, they're 1 year old.
Till they're two.
Yeah, till they're two, they're one. We got a little daughter together, and come August, we're going to have a little son together. So I like to tell this story because this is one, I don't have very many stories like this. We're going to have a boy this time. She said, no, we're not a girl. It's a girl. I know it. You're 100% wrong. I was like, no, I'm right. So this is the one story I get to tell that I was right, and I like to tell everybody about it. I kept telling her it was a boy, and it's going to be a boy, so ha, ha, ha.
I don't know what it comes out, and it's a girl. Sometimes that steam falls off.
I know it.
Oh, man.
But that's
now, Lindsay has her own story. I mean, yeah, she's got quite a story. Did you get somebody? You would? Cool. Yeah. All right. So I want you to finish it, because I live. But it's all about, because He lives, we have life. We're celebrating that this Easter season. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give praise for this story today.